time to do the introduction for the San Carlos Computer Club. How are you in?
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
What's up? What are we doing? You guys don't want to participate?
Do you have to ask me a question?
What are we doing, Emily?
We're getting vaccinated.
And is this your first shot?
Nope, it's my second one.
So 2 weeks from now, you'll be fully vaccinated?
Frick yeah.
And BB, what about you?
The beads.
Come on, share all the information.
I just lost my 31 win streak on Candy Crush, so I don't really feel like talking.
Oh my goodness, look at that face. Actually, I can't see it because it's behind a mask, but I bet she's disappointed. She's lost at Candy Crush. So, Bibiana, is this your first vaccination?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, we could update the computer club with where we are. Where are we?
In Anchorage, Alaska.
Woohoo! Finally, set to spend a month here.
Freak yeah.
What are we doing here?
We're working on our T.O. Justin's house.
That's what we're doing. We've come here to help our T.O. Justin with his brand new house. All that backstory is too much for us.
The Candy Crush win streak needs it, man.
Yeah? Let's see how she's doing at Candy Crush now.
I'm not playing Candy Crush.
You're not playing Candy Crush? Well, why are you so upset?
I rage quitted.
You rage quit. Well, that's fine. I'm fully vaccinated. You're half vaccinated.
Half, almost there.
Until 2 weeks from now. And you will need another vaccination on August 7th, from what I saw. So I already made an appointment for you.
Oh, nice.
Nice. So anyway, this is Scott Stimson, your host.
Hi.
Bibiana. My daughter who rage quits Candy Crush.
I'm going back on it.
That's embarrassing.
And this is...
I am Emily Simpson, the favorite child, obviously.
The Moss.
The Moss, yes.
And we're here to introduce the San Carlos Computer Club from the meeting that we couldn't attend. Well, I guess we did attend it. We were in the car, weren't we?
Yeah,
I think actually everybody attended it. But Cheryl was in charge. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl. You're awesome.
This is the introduction from the San Carlos Computer Club for July 13th, 2021. Until next Tuesday, tech on.
Tech on.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
So we are Scottless right now. So I'm supposed to be running it. It is recording, so we are live on the YouTube channel.
But it's not time yet.
It's not time yet. So as soon as everybody starts joining and it gets to be closer to time, we'll introduce it. And
so where's Scott today?
Scott set up the equipment, got it all started in San Carlos, and his family and him are jumping in the car, and they're getting ready to go to Arizona for a month. So today's the day that he's traveling. And so he's heading up there, and Yuya will turn off the live stream when we're done. So he's got it all coordinated. But
so Yuya's staying in San Carlos and Scott is leaving for a month.
Yeah, with the girls, taking them up. And I guess Scott's friends have bought a house next door to his parents' house in Arizona.
Wow.
And so they're doing renovations and everything. And he's working remotely while he's there. Oh. Yuya's got enough work to keep her busy in Mexico. So they're going to be in two locations. They're usually far north and south. Then this year they're going to be a little closer together. But yeah.
And maybe they'll open the border soon. So who knows?
Yeah. That's the thing. You know, Yuya could fly up there, but crossing the border by land is really hard. It's the same thing that we have. We can cross into the United States right now if we're willing to fly over the border.
Right. But I've been that way all the time, well, since last spring or last fall, so
yeah.
Last winter. Sometime. Anyway, a lot of people did that.
Yeah. Those people that could afford it or could have afford their vehicle being shipped and picked up when they get there and all that kind of stuff. But yeah. So, Paul, what's for breakfast? I think you're muted.
McDonald's sausage biscuit.
Ooh. And a sugar-free vanilla iced coffee.
I had sugar-free.
Sugar-free. Huh. Doesn't mean it's without calories, though, because it's half milk.
So therefore, it's not sugar-free.
Yeah.
It's no sugar added. Let's put it that way.
Well, I see. The vanilla flavoring is sugar-free.
Yeah. I thought Billy was here, but it looks like his camera's off.
It says he's here, but nothing's there.
Yeah, he's muted and camera off. He's being incognito. Doesn't want to show you guys his new outfit.
So. I'm eating.
Oh, so is Paul.
I'm shyer than Paul.
Yeah.
No.
Out here on Jupiter or Saturn, there's not a lot of cover.
You and the other billionaires in the world are in outer space, eh?
Right.
That was kind of neat watching that, actually.
Looked like it might be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, fun, but not at that price tag, thank you.
The price will come down.
There you go.
How much does that cost?
I don't know. More than I have.
I thought it was like $50,000 or something.
No, $250,000.
Yeah, that sounds what I...
There's one woman in Canada who has a ticket, but she's number 600 and something or other. And she's put 20,000 down. Was it 20,000 US? I think it was. That she's put down, and she owes another 125 or something. US dollars for a Canadian. So there you go.
What's the price in pesos then?
That'll be a few billion. So, Paul, you're in Arizona?
San Pedro, California.
Oh, right. California. That's right. Yeah. Fires?
Not here.
Not there? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Up north.
Today, the peso is 20 to 1.
20 US to 1? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Canadian, we've been around 12, 13, as low as that. But 14 was when the last time we were there, it was about 14, 14.3, something like that. We always go the other way. It costs us about 7 Canadian dollars for 100 pesos. And for you guys, what's that, 5 US dollars?
$5 for how much?
100 pesos?
No, it's 2. Well, what is it, Paul?
Well, what $2. I figure is 20, a 20 peso bill is a dollar bill.
Exactly.
And 50 pesos is $2.50.
Yeah.
100 pesos is $5.
Yeah. So for you guys, what I always do is 100 pesos is an entree, at a lower, at most of the places we go to. 100 pesos, which is $5 for you guys. So for us, it's $7. So Taco Tuesdays is 20 pesos. So for you guys, it's like a dollar. And for us, it's like $1.40.
Well, when you go to the ATM and get quinientos, that's like a $25 bill.
Yeah.
So it's not much different than getting $20 bills from an ATM in the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just feels like a lot more.
Well, it usually can go further.
That's pretty powerful coffee that Paul's drinking. He disappeared.
Yeah.
I did, yeah. I don't know why my camera goes off and on. Plug it back in here.
Yeah, my internet keeps bleeping out, but yours doesn't, Bill?
Doesn't seem to.
Same friggin' house. What's going on?
Internet knows who's boss.
Okay, what time are we? Oh, 10 minutes. So... we talked about buying that motorhome back in May, and we've been working on it, and we've spent time 2 nights in it out at Alberta Beach, which is where our kids live, and we were having a heat wave. I think we got to 38 degrees Celsius, which Bill will have to convert for you, 90 something. Anyways.
Damn hot.
Very damn hot. And the air conditioning didn't work. Well, it dumped water all over the one side of the bed, of course. And, so it wasn't great. So on Sunday, Bill shows me an ad for another motorhome with a hitching package and a Jeep behind it.
Oh.
So we bought it too. So now we have in our driveway two motorhomes, our Honda, a Jeep, and it's just, it's crazy. So now I just got a notice from Google Meet that said, your internet is having problems. Get help. If you're using Wi-Fi, try moving closer to your router. Avoid activities that heavily use your internet connection.
So is that a message to you or is that a message to Scott's system?
That's a message on my Google Meet. So it's weird. Your network connection is unstable. which is very strange.
You're a Scotch, so you got to have these problems.
Scott transferred the meeting to me, so it's messed up my network. Anyway, I'm getting really good at buying motorhomes, and now Bill's got to get really good at selling them.
Well, the typical solution for that message is reboot your router.
But he's on the same router, and his is working fine.
Doesn't matter.
Oh.
You know, it just got a glitch in their software. They're not keeping track and running so much stuff. If you notice, the new systems, like the Nest systems, they have an option to reboot the router every night at 4 o'clock or something, built right in their software.
Yeah, we had our mesh system was doing that, wasn't it, Bill? But I think you canceled that.
No, the Nest system wasn't rebooting it done, but I had the router on a timer that turned it off for 5 minutes and on again at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, my TP-Link Deco, or whatever it is, you know, it does it every night. And some nights it screws up. I have it attached to the VPN, so sometimes it screws up the VPN, so I need to reboot that one every night, too.
I still think it's strange that it does it on... Scott would say it's because I own an HP, but... my computer's the only one that's doing it right now. Yeah, the phone seems to be fine.
So, Cheryl, are they both the same brand of motorhome?
No, the first one was a Coachman. This one is a Fleetwood, but they're the same kind of class. No, the first one was a diesel pusher, and this one is a gas.
I thought maybe you had parts.
We are going to do a couple of things. Is that Scott that's joined us? It is! Scott, you have cursed my system. Mine is the only one that is having network connection problems this morning.
Scott is muted.
Yes, Scott is muted.
He's still muted.
Am I muted? There we go.
There.
Testing. Can you guys hear us?
Yep.
No?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Well, we're just driving away from the house. We're on the road.
You're supposed to sing that, Vivek.
On the road. That is like a song. Open road, take us home to the place where I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Oh, country road.
Everybody's got their own road song. Ours used to be, on the road again has to be fun because Bill looks so much like Willie Nelson. But the other one was Driving My Life Away.
No, it wasn't. It was Puck Cover of the Rolling Stones.
Before I got married, mine was Highway to Hell.
Yeah, that works too.
Get on the highway to hell.
What?
How about keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel?
He must be still in the Ranchitos from the looks of the car jump.
We are going down the road. Wait, here, probably. We are approaching the Santa Rosa's intersection.
We're at the beginning of an 8-hour-long journey.
Yeah, believe it.
So you're on your way to Phoenix, huh?
That's our next stop. We will be staying in Scottsdale. Hey, that's a stop sign, buddy. That's a stop sign. They even got construction in front of you, and you just roll right through. People.
Now I have three Cheryls.
Oh, no, Cheryl's having issues, huh? I can't hear anything.
You're muted, Cheryl.
I think they'll laugh.
She said she was having some internet.
No, she's there.
Hi. Hi, guys. My network connection is lost on my HP, and it keeps bleeping me out. So I joined on the telephone, and it seems to be working fine.
Awesome. Well, I'm sorry I didn't get the announcement out except 10 minutes late. That was a really funny thing. I'm glad Cheryl mentioned that. Stop the hour.
So I guess we're 2 minutes away from starting the meeting. So Scott, you're here so you can do that. But I have to be logged in so that I can get people to join, right?
That's right. And if I'm doing anything, I'm doing it behind the wheel. So please, you're driving. I'm just co-pilot.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that because I'm still logged in on my HP and it's trying to reconnect. But I'm hoping that if anybody's trying to get in, that I'll actually still see it.
I'm hoping that our road noise is interruptive meeting, or I'll mute it.
Chester just came in.
Hey, Chester.
Oh, and he made it in without...
He got in without having to be authorized. That's awesome. I wish we could figure out how to do that with everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning, Chester.
Buenos dias.
We're just taking off for Phoenix. Emily, Liliana's in back. You're not feeling so good this morning. You had a bad day yesterday.
Are you flying out of Phoenix or just visiting?
Yeah, that's the plan. We're heading up to Alaska, and so we'll stay the night in Phoenix. It's been the first time on a nonstop break. I've never taken a nonstop from Phoenix to Anchorage. I won't believe it is until we're actually not stopping in Seattle.
I wanted to give you a quick update, too, that I have no update. Other than my Simply Safe is still in the box, my 99-year-old mother-in-law has taken a turn for the worse, and so a lot of time has been spent at the assisted living place. And I also went and looked at the new iPhone 12 Pro Max and the Pro, and I am going to go with the Pro Max because it's almost 2 hours better battery life. It's going to cost me $11.
Hey, I think
it's Cheryl.
Cheryl.
See, she just muted herself and it's not doing it anymore. Oh, there she is again.
So, Judy, are you saying that you're choosing the Mac because it has better battery life?
And the camera is a whole lot better, yes.
Yeah, and the camera is a whole lot better. That's what I read in the stat, too.
Exactly. And I kind of verified that article. I went to the Apple store and the AT&T store and Sam's Club. So I've done my due diligence. I just haven't decided. I'm thinking I'm going to buy it from AT&T, because they'll give me a little better deal than Apple will as far as the service goes.
And are you going to do the AppleCare contract?
Yes, because I went over and asked them if I bought my phone at AT&T, would they move everything over for me if I got the AppleCare? And they said yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what I was going to mention.
Yeah.
They're
kind of next door to each other. So.
I'm sorry?
They're next door to each other, so it's not a huge deal.
So, Judy, can you explain that to me one more time? So you are going to purchase your iPad Pro from AT&T?
No. I'm going to purchase my iPhone Pro Mac from AT&T. I also have iPad. I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I'm going to buy my phone from AT&T, and then I'm going to walk next door to Apple, and they're going to add AppleCare and move all the data for me.
From your iPhone that you own now, you're going to... You're basically upgrading your iPhone.
I am. The thing is that I have, if since I have AT&T, I have to trade it in through AT&T. Anyway, much easier for me to buy the phone at AT&T rather than from and trade it in at AT&T. It's ridiculous. So that's my plan.
I can't tell if this one, but you know, Judy, that's been, he always buys his stuff from the AT&T.
Uh-huh.
A better experience with AT&T.
Always off Sam's Club, but Sam has actually stopped doing their own sales and they have a third party in there. And this guy tried to upsell me on a plan that really irked me. So I won't buy it from Sam's.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. So,
you could be selling.
So what was it that just then I have to admit. Well,
$10 for $5 and I'm done talking to you.
Yes, Cheryl.
I think we must be having connection.
Yeah, Scott, you're breaking up your audio quite a bit. But Judy, okay, so AT&T said they would do what for you if you got the AppleCare on it? I missed that.
I'm buying the phone AT&T.
Right.
I'm trading in my current iPhone with AT&T. Then I'm taking my new phone next door to the Apple store where I'm going to purchase AppleCare, and they're going to move everything for me.
Ah, okay. So in purchasing AppleCare, care, your phone is then warrantied or something, but it's through Apple, not through AT&T.
Exactly.
Okay. How much does it cost?
I don't care. It's since I have three devices, and you, if you have a current Apple Care plan, a lot of times they'll talk to you about any of your devices.
Oh, so you get one plan and you can talk to them about your devices.
Normally they will if they're okay. If you person.
Okay.
Current plan, but right now with my mother-in-law, you know, it's like, who knows what's going on? You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So the iPhone Pro that you're buying?
Pro Max.
And you went with it because?
It has about 2 hours better battery and the camera is a whole lot better than the Pro.
Okay. How much does an iPhone Pro Max from AT&T run you?
Well, I'm trading in my iPhone 10. I'm getting $700.
Right.
$11 a month for 3 years. So it's around $1,000, a little over.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you get a trade-in on the iPhone that you have already with AT&T, and yep. Then you do that. And you purchase that one through a plan like that too?
Uh-huh. And it's paid off.
It's paid off.
Might as well get another one and still have payments.
Right. See, we bought our phones, both of our phones, from AT&T when we signed up with them, but we got the 6S's and like they were $50, or mine was $99 and Bill's was $50. So I don't know if AT&T is going to be the best place to buy.
I don't know if anyone will even give you anything for a 6S.
Yeah.
I don't think they even sell a 6S anymore.
Okay. Well, the other thing we were thinking of doing is buying that iPad that has the cellular.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wondering if AT&T sells that.
I did look at that at the Apple store, but that for me is like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to carry an iPad in my car to make phone calls with.
Yeah, well, one of us would do that. The other one would have the phone. You know what I mean? So
it would work. Yeah. Or
who gets the watch?
Oh, and then that's the other thing. Bill was thinking of getting the watch to go with the iPad.
But they suggested at the Apple store, but I'm not into wearing a watch, so I'm not going to do
that. Oh. So they did suggest that.
Sorry, I don't mean to. I love the watch big phone idea. I told you guys about that a couple weeks ago.
Right.
But I do have to wear my reading glass to look at my watch. So, I mean, it comes with it. I did just get a prescription for progressive lenses, so maybe it won't be an issue in the future.
We're watching him age before our eyes, guys. Our young Scott is coming at us.
My kids like to remind me how old I am. So old, Bob.
And that's another advantage to the Pro Max is that it is big, and I can see it with glasses.
Yeah, I can see a real advantage to that. I had to let Yuya use an old Motorola phone, actually Emily's old phone. She had to switch back from a 6-inch screen to a 5.5-inch screen. It's like, why am I having so much trouble reading everything on?
Scott, can't you ask your watch what time it is?
Yeah, there's Siri on the watch. Talk to the watch. You can tell it to make phone calls. You can tell it to answer calls, ask it what time it is. And, of course, it's Apple. It's an app store, so there's hundreds of watch apps that you can put on it.
Any idea of the price tag for a watch?
More than an iPhone.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not actually. The watch that makes phone calls, the last time I looked at it was something like $499. They have two classes of watches. They actually have three class watch. They have their original Generation 3 watch, which I think they call the sports watch. And then they've got the aluminum watch, the latest generation, Generation 5 overall. And then they have a stainless steel, a higher quality or so. You know, they've got an expensive one, though. But you can get into a watch that does everything the most expensive watch does for about $499 or $469, if I'm remembering the price correct. And that's with making phone calls. Now, they've got a cheaper watch. They just like they've got the iPhone SE that they're still selling, they've got a cheaper watch for under $300, if I remember right. And it does everything except make phone calls, EKG. It won't do EKG. It won't do real-time heart monitor. Which I kind of think those features are what I'm going into if you're wanting on my wrist.
Yeah, mine's doing my blood pressure right now. So
we're all trying to age peacefully and with lots of knowledge here.
Yeah, I don't think that it has blood pressure on the latest one, but I do know that Apple's been trying to do a blood glucose thing, and that's not included either. We were expecting something like that in this latest watch, and we didn't get it. What we got was the auction.
I have an Apple Watch story.
You're on, Chester.
Okay, I have a grandson that's on the chat room for Apple. That's what he makes his living. And he was telling me yesterday of a watch that he has. You know, I have a history of falling. Matter of fact, almost a fatal fall. And Apple puts out a watch, and I'm going to look into it soon, that will activate when you fall. It will call pre-designated people to let them know that you have fallen. And if they don't get an answer, then it makes a 911 call on your behalf.
Cool.
Sounds like good stuff for a person like me.
Chester, I can verify all those things are true with latest iteration of Apple Watch.
I think I'm going to have one.
What about the possibility of buying something
in
Mexico where the rates for the service are so cheap and include unlimited Mexico, U.S., and Canada from AT&T?
Sorry, David, what was the question?
Well, have you considered purchasing a phone in Mexico with Mexico service because you can get unlimited Mexico, U.S., and Canada included for next to nothing?
Well, that's why we purchased ours, but we purchased it in Las Vegas when we were there. And it's AT&T, all three countries. And yes, it's approximately $100 for the two plans, unlimited phone calls, data in all three countries.
Mine's about $55 right now. So, and it includes everything. And the bad thing about buying your phone in Mexico is that it has a Mexican number. Therefore, your friends who don't have a Mexico plan can't call you.
Yes,
that has become an issue.
They can't text you.
Which is an application. It runs on your cell phone. It costs about $5 a month and gives you a second inbound number that's a U.S. or Canadian or whatever country you'd like the phone number to get.
What's that app called, Dave?
iPlum. I-P-L-U-M.
iPlum. And you say it's about $5 a month U.S.?
Right. It used to be $1 a month or something. They raised their prices.
And we could put a Canadian phone number, an inbound Canadian phone number on the phone?
Correct. I have a U.S. inbound. Now, the disadvantages of it are, one, some people will get a caller ID on their phone that shows your Mexican phone number, even though you dialed the U.S. phone number in my case.
Yeah.
The other disadvantage is some services don't recognize it as a known telephone service. So they say this is not a valid number.
Right. Yeah, I've had some issues with medical professionals, different people not wanting to phone my U.S. number, or me phoning people and thinking that I'm selling them a timeshare. You know, so I have to make sure that people know that my phone calls are coming from a Nevada number. So I think, like Judy said, if you bought it in Mexico, you would have a Mexico number. But Dave, sounds like you've got a solution to that.
But some of the times, and some people will see that Mexico phone number, it doesn't always appear as the U.S. phone number, even though they dial.
Right.
I have T-Mobile, and with T-Mobile, I get two different accounts, and since I have white hair, it costs me $60 a month, and I can call from 120 different countries on my account.
In my case, I don't have much data because I don't use it much on the phone, but my cell phone bill is like $20 a month, and it included a reasonable Motorola One phone and unlimited calling.
Can't complain about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My Canadian cell phone.
Cheryl's locked.
Can I chime in?
Is this Bozo the Clown?
Cheryl's locked.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
Okay. Hey, I was going to go back to Judy's new iPhone 12 Max. The iPhone 12 comes as a dual SIM phone, so you can maintain different phone service on it. Now, recently, we've had a customer that bought a 12 in Mexico, and he's having a hard getting his Mexican and his Merit service on phone. And one of the reasons is because he just swapped the SIM over. He used a Mexican SIM card, as you know, when they SIM card. Of course, the iPhone 12 and the latest Samsung support and the Apple Watch support this thing called an eSIM, which is a programmable service, not just giving you a card.
Okay.
And that way you'll have the flexibility of putting a cell cell SIM in it when you get down here.
Okay. So it's a SIM. It's programmable.
It's called an eSIM. It's already part of your hardware. And the only reason you use it is because the people that are helping you are lazy.
Okay.
There's no reason not to activate it and use that. Okay. And if you buy it at AT&T, then they should be the ones that are programming your main service on that.
Right.
Leave one open for another service.
The first time we went looking for an iPad, we were down in the United States, and we were used to seeing the little slot where you push a button and the tray comes out so you can put your SIM card in, and there wasn't one there. And we pointed this out to the fellow that was trying to sell it to us, and he said, "Oh, it's the SIM card's already in there." And it was an AT&T SIM card, and you couldn't change it unless you took the whole machine apart. There was no door there to change it.
Well, so
be careful you don't end up with one like that.
Well, no, that's a feature, not a bug. Any place that you buy service should have the ability to program that eSIM. Like, you should be able to walk into Verizon and ask them to program SIM to their service.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but what's unique is the iPhones have two. The iPads only have one, and it's that pure eSIM, right? Mm. If you're going to do it with iPads, I think I would spend time talking with Apple about that flexibility, just so you're comfortable with what you're getting into.
Uh-huh.
What has been eliminated with them is your flexibility of just getting a card, swapping it yourself. You are dependent on the carrier helping program that service, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Thank you. Okay, guys, I've got it.
Sorry, I was making notes. I have turned off my connection on my AP because I lost my network again, and the little phone again, the iPhone. Yeah, okay, so we figured out about the eSIM. Is that what Scott was calling it?
E like Edward, SIM.
Yeah, and you have to make sure that it's open to be, it's not dependent on one carrier.
It has to change. Be activated. Activated is what it is.
Activated, not programmed? Okay.
Activate the eSIM.
Okay, cool.
Okay, I'm heading out to the assisted living, so I'll see you all next week.
Okay, bye, Judy.
Bye.
Thanks for checking in, Judy, and good luck with everything. Yeah. Okay. So, topic. Does anybody have something else that we need to talk about?
Hey, there is the document.
I've got to turn my speaker on.
Oh.
I have a subject.
Okay. Go for it, Chester.
Recently, I was, you know, I have Microsoft 365 Office, which gives me a terabyte of cloud. And I was contemplating backing up my whole computer onto the cloud. And I frankly could not figure out how to do it. Is anyone done? Is my voice going away?
You're still there, Chester.
Okay.
Okay, Scott's trying to hear it. Chester, basically you're asking about trying to store on the iCloud?
Not store. The problem with storing is that it takes it off of your computer and puts it on the cloud. What I really want to do is just back up without taking it off of my computer.
No, Chester, that's not true. No matter what cloud service you're using, it will leave it on your computer. The issue becomes, where does it leave it? And the OneDrive and the iCloud now both leave your documents in place as they back them up your cloud base. When you make changes to them on your desktop or in your documents, then those changes are updated to the iCloud. So it's never been easier to do because you don't have to change the way you do things.
Okay. I don't have the steps for backing up my computer. And when I go to my Microsoft account, it really doesn't allow me to back up. It doesn't discuss backup.
It's not clear in the Microsoft account, but it is part of the OneDrive. And so that's where you want to look for it, is you want to go into OneDrive in Windows 10 and go into the settings. And, I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me, but settings is a three-tab window, and it's like the middle tab will take you to the backup settings, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay, I'll go to OneDrive instead of Microsoft.
Yeah, go to OneDrive, go and when you bring up OneDrive, OneDrive is a little gray cloud that sits in your taskbar over the right.
I can't find that either. It doesn't sit over on the right. I read that on the internet.
It might be your task is hidden. You know, the taskbar can hide things. If you hit that little carrot on the right, it'll open up another window of taskbar items.
I did, and it's not there.
Okay, then that's frustrating. Because right. Most can't get a code to leave the taskbar. It could be that you disabled or something is disabled the icon showing up, which is a startup item. The quickest way I know to verify that would be to look at your startup item. And that's actually in your setting in Windows. You go into settings, do a search on startup. There's this new list of potential items to add startup, and they've got off and on switch next. And I think OneDrive is also one of those. There's a whole bunch of things like that you choose to turn on or off to start up.
Yeah, I think that will lead me in the correct direction. I just didn't know to do that.
Yeah, and then when you click on that OneDrive, what it's going to show you is a window of your status synchronized file. And where you need to go is in that window, to the lower right, there's the ellipsis, the three dots. And when you click on that, you'll find a settings option. That's the option you're supposed to get. Under that, you would find backup options, and then under backup, you're just choosing all the folders you want to include in the backup.
Can you designate all folders, period?
Well, the way Microsoft has laid it out is you've got desktop, documenters, and then you can add whatever other folder. You could do the C drive if you wanted.
Oh, okay. That would take care of it.
Yeah. You can just, you can play around with it at that point. What's neat about the backup option with OneDrive, and again, this is all engine on the script server. You're already buying Office server. You already have all this space out there. If you haven't bought Office, then you only have about 5 gigabytes in cloud, and I wouldn't recommend this road.
No.
But if you've already got the script, you have plenty of space out there for what you have on your or what most of us have.
The key to it is I never found the little green icon, and you've told me how to go find it now that I can do that, and it should work out. So
yeah, the little gray cloud. It's not signed into it. It has an extra, but in this case, it's not even showing up on your taskbar, and that could be startup item.
Okay, good. I know where to go.
All right.
So Scott, if you're using OneDrive, would you say there's no need to use Microsoft's file history, which automatically makes a copy of anything deleted, but also anything changed, but also keeps track of things that get deleted?
You know, that's a good question. The file history is local, and the OneDrive backup cloud, but they're almost identical in the way they work.
You can choose the location for your file history file to be at. I happen to put mine on a drive attached to my router, so it's physically remote from the computer.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. That my file history is on an external drive, and yours is on a network drive. So what you'd be doing, I'm a long proponent of having more than one backup, an on-site backup and an off-site backup. And so that's what that would be. I wouldn't put my file history in OneDrive. I'd put my file history on a local drive, and then I would use OneDrive as my off-site backup.
Yeah, I'll mention the only gotcha with putting the file history on a drive attached to my router is that doesn't automatically, should I say, mount that drive to make it accessible. There's tricks to do that. Don't use the super fancy ones. There's a very simple, basic one that you can use. Or just as simple as click on the drive in Explorer and it'll mount instantly.
Well, you could use that network, what is it, the net use drive letter, the mapping, you could set that up as a startup item.
Yeah, I just have a little batch file that uses NetSH, I believe.
Yeah, okay. So in that case, you could take the batch file and stick it in your startup folder.
Right.
And when you start up, it would force that.
But I love file history because it's so much easier. The only bad part about it, I find, is that I don't like their cleanup, which you can only set for the number of days or whatever it is for basically everything.
Yeah, you know, you can set it. I think by default, it hangs on over a year. In file history, I think that's a fundamental thing to understand about it, is how often does it back up and how long does it hang on change? Like you might have it back up every hour, but only care about changes the last 30 days. And so if it's backing up every hour, you might have made a bunch of changes as you were working on something. And you might have perpetual changes back for the last year, whereas none of that has any value to you, but it's taking up space.
Well, but most things on the PCs are designed to work in memory. And since most things work in memory, they aren't really changed until they are written back to disk, which is when you close them. So only when it goes back to disk does it now treat it as a changed file, and thus it gets backed up, in my case, every, I think, 10 minutes or 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think I've got file history running on my system every half hour.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing that not enough people are using.
Well, on this note, did you notice that Christian Office has a system for making regular saves? Like, they put it front center. If you want to regularly be saving, kind of like hitting save every 10 minutes, right? Updating files. It is available only on OneDrive. So you have versioning being provided to you by Microsoft Office, but only if you're saving it in. Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yes, and even the antique Office stuff had a save every so many minutes.
Good. So we are thinking about the same thing. So that save every minute, every so many minutes, was configurable in the old Office. And the idea was that you crash, get back into Office, it goes, hey, I got this backup. You want to use backup? The way that this system is fronter in Office 365 is the thing that you don't have that antique system longer, but it still exists. It's just the way they word it is like you have to save it in OneDrive, take advantage of it. Whereas the thing that they put front center is the version, go back 10 minutes, go back 15 minutes, and restore that file, which has never been part of Office. Office has always been that temporary, I recovered from a crash version, if that makes sense. I know that I had a customer that was confused about the new version because it's offering versioning front and center as a feature of Office, and then it was forcing them to use OneDrive to take advantage of it. And thought was, well, what if I crash? I want it to be continually backing up. Well, it doesn't matter whether it's a local drive or OneDrive. It's still doing that periodic thing. It just feels like it's not the way they present it as a newbie version. I hope that makes sense. Somebody out there using Off knows what I'm talking about. Am I still connected?
Yep. You are. Okay. I lost my network again. So while you were talking, I put three things in the chat. The one is the Google Doc that Scott created, which is our shared doc with the different topic. And I'm not sure if everybody found that, but I thought it would be good to share that link. The other two are the topic or the things from that document that Scott had given us as possible topic for today. The one is the hackers that have come up with the insulin. I'll find it. Hold on. The biohackers take aim at big pharmacy's strange hold on insulin. And I found this an interesting topic. And the one thing that really struck out in my mind was that the original discoverers of insulin, Banting and Best and the other two doctors in Canada, they never patented their discovery, and it was free for everybody to use. But somewhere along the way, big pharmacies took over and were creating insulin and holding everybody basically hostage with the big price. And so these biohackers have figured out the way to produce the human insulin that we're using these days, and they're sharing it with the world. So, interesting.
I have another technical topic, if we're ready.
Go ahead, Chester.
Yesterday I was just browsing around on Facebook and ran into a couple of videos that I really wanted to save, but I can't figure out how, and maybe I'm not permitted. But the file is an HTTPS, and is there any way that you can take an HTTPS and get it in your computer so that you can make a DVD out of it?
I think Scott's going to try and answer that.
No,
just
one, two.
Scott, you're fading.
That does not sound like something can save it correctly. What I would say is that there are applications out there you use specifically for function taking videos off to.
Now, this isn't YouTube. This is not YouTube. I have those programs, and I can take a YouTube and convert it. This is an HTTPS. If I save the link, I can always go back and look at it. But this is to convert the link to a video that I can use in my computer, making a slideshow, for example.
Yeah, I don't know what your name
is. Scott, you're badly broken up.
You can put that link address in. Something that will embedded video data out of page, but knows what it's trying to grab a hold of and save it on your hard drive.
Scott, you're all broken up. Can you go over again?
The address you have. Hold on, we got garbage coming through. Okay, can you hear me okay?
Better now.
Yeah, that's better.
So what you're looking, well, first off, where is the video posted?
Facebook.
It's a Facebook video. Okay, so I think that's really where you need to start, is you need to go to Google and start Googling how to save a video off of Facebook, if that makes sense. There's going to be somebody that's written an app similar to the apps you've used with YouTube, and it's specifically for helping you get videos off Facebook.
Yeah, I Googled converting an HTTPS. But I got no response. I got no information I could use. But I'll try. I'll try Facebook.
I think you're thinking about it in too technical a term. Like if you're writing a program, if you're a developer, there would be things that would make sense doing those kinds of search. But you're just a normal guy, and I think what you're looking for is an application that will take videos off Facebook and you Google that kind of terminology.
It may be they're copyrighted and you just can't do it.
Well, yeah, it kind of depends how the person, whoever was on Facebook, how they put it up there. If it's their own private video, or if it's made in a different movie maker or something, they maybe shared it as a website and you're trying to view it not as a website, an HTTPS, but as a video. So yeah, it has to be converted to a WAV file or something.
Right.
But I think
I did find some comparison between an HTTP.
Let me be clear. Facebook doesn't want you to take videos off their website, regardless of permissions, regardless of how it was saved. They do not have a function to take their videos off. They don't want you to take their videos. I mean, as far as they're concerned, there's their videos by the time they're on their website. So you're really looking for a third party that will strip the video out of Facebook and save it on your hard drive. Very similar to the programs you use YouTube.
Okay, one further point. There apparently is a difference between an HTTP and HTTPS, S being secure.
That's correct. But neither of those designations are a video format.
Right.
What you're looking for is an application that you put a link into that will massage. It'll figure out the embedded information of the video, so it can grab hold of it and start recording it to your hard drive. And that's where I think you're going to have a lot better looking for an application intended to save videos from Facebook. How do I save a video from Facebook? I think those are the kinds of Google search you're looking for.
I'll do that. Thanks.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, Scott, when you...
And if I've still got, if I've got your attention for one moment, I wanted to go back to the insulin hacking, which is amazing because these hackers have reverse engineered they have found common day products that through their methodology are providing the insulin at a stable compound use. What Cheryl was saying about them being copyrighted or hijacked in the United States, very true. These pharmaceutical companies have bought up the rights to those drugs, and so those biohackers can't use those processes, but they come up with their own process to develop the same end result. And then I wanted to add one other topic on the insulin that I have not done further research on, but I recently saw a headline that Walmart is going to start offering discounted cheap insulin to compete against the pharmaceutical company. I wonder if you guys seen that.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to know what they make it out of and the reliability of it and consistency, and it would be interesting.
Well, I wonder if Walmart movement, because this headline popped up right around the same time these biohackers popped up too. And I wonder if they have inadvertently put pressure in the marketplace, or maybe it's early, but I think maybe Walmart saw that these guys coming up with a homegrown solution and they thought, wow, we can't make that. We've got to figure out a way to make it easier for people to just buy it from us. And I think think that's what they've done, is they've decided that they'll do the homegrown solution and sell it to people much cheaper than buying it from pharmaceuticals.
I found the news report that you saw, and I'll put it in the chat room, that it's an ABC news report.
So maybe the next step with insulin is to make it over the counter.
But no prescription?
Yeah. Maybe the next step with insulin is to make it that available, that you can make it yourself at home, you can buy it from Walmart without prescription, just to solve this whole issue. Insulin price has gone up a ridiculous amount in the United States. I read some stats that said, like, 10 years ago, people were paying $50 for their prescription, and now they're paying $350.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not right, I don't think.
No, especially in this day and age where we still don't have universal health care, without an insurer. I mean, it's like, people with good insurance may not feel that, but people with no insurance totally feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the figures I've seen that in the other countries of the world, the amount of insulin that would cost them $10 costs $100 in the United States. So they're 10 times as expensive, and it's hard.
I really think we're going to find these issues all coming together. I mean, I think there's reason that we're seeing these news. I think Walmart doesn't want this to get out of control. I don't think Walmart wants you making your own insulin.
Yeah.
I think they're losing a customer. I think that's why they jumped in right at this moment. Mm-hmm. Is let's just cut this off at the pass. You guys keep buying cheap insulin for us. We'll provide it.
Yeah, it's a lost leader.
It sort of sounds like the days of prohibition, where the alcohol was made, by distillers, and then we start making it and bootlegging it. And yeah, so we're bootlegging insulin these days. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's so frustrating. Think people, like, we've already had news, people have died because they were rationing their insulin.
Yeah, yeah. That's
a terrible thing. Scott, when you were breaking up there, I was watching in the back window of your car, and there was mountains going by. Where are you?
We are on the road to Hermosillo at the moment.
Oh, okay. Probably, still in
the... Yes, yeah, we are a computer club distance from San Carlos.
How about this new Alzheimer's drug that they're coming out with that may or may not work, but costs $65,000 a year?
Yeah, the drug costs are unbelievable. I know our friend Sam Rainwater, he had some for his COPD, that the cost of the medication was extremely, extremely high. But because he's a veteran, he was able to access it at a more reasonable kind of price. But yeah, Alzheimer's, all of these medications are... Yeah.
Alzheimer's drug is really controversial right now, isn't it? In the marketplace.
Yes, and it's only like applicable. It's only applicable to the early stage.
Hmm.
I was thinking that they built their first trial, like they stopped the trial halfway through because they weren't getting the results they wanted, and they were going to go back where we
That may have been the history, but I think that the FDA has approved it recently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happened is that this drug, I mean, I think that's the reason it's in the news right now, Jess, because originally their trial got stopped. They were seeing data that made it look like it was helpful. And then they went back through the data and they found some place where it was helpful enough to proceed again and to push the FDA to make it available in the marketplace. So it's extremely expensive and it's not as effective as they were hoping. It's only effective in very specific cases. And it seems like what I read was that it's effective for people that are potential Alzheimer's victims, or I don't know if that's the right way to phrase that, versus people that are suffering severe autism. Now I can't even say it. If you were suffering dementia, it would not help. But if you were on the path to suffer dementia, then it could help. I think that's what they discovered. Does that sound right from what you were reading, Chester?
I read yesterday where I believe it was either the federal government or the private insurance industry was considering to what extent they were going to approve it as a prescription.
From what I've read, that seems like the FDA will approve things that are 50 cents or higher effective. So it may be clearly non-effective for a large portion of people and still get approved.
I don't really have a dog in this hunt, fortunately, but one never knows.
Chester, I think we would all agree with that.
Yeah. Cool. So those tech topics are there. It might be time to go to what are you watching or reading. I discovered that a guilty pleasure, Virgin River, which is definitely a soap opera TV series. Then there's a new series that I hadn't seen before on Netflix. So I'm watching the third series season of the Virgin River. And the other one I binged watched was a supernatural one called Manifest. And it's this plane load of people that disappear for 5 years, but the people, when they finally land, they think that they've just had a normal, like they've only aged 1 hour and they've only been in the air for an hour, and everybody else around them, life has gone on for 5 years. So it was kind of a neat premise, and all kinds of conspiracy and the government controlling people, and it was pretty good. So I recommend that one.
What's the name again?
Manifest, like the passenger list, the Manifest.
And I've been watching Manifest. I really enjoy it. It's a little corny at times, but
yeah.
One of the things is significant in it. I mean, as an analogy of what's going on, is that there's a set of twins.
Yes.
And one is 5 years older than the other after this done. Like the plane lands and they think they're getting off the plane at the same time, and they find out it's 5 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, people have died and lives have gone on and different things. And then the next thing that happens is the people that were on the plane have these abilities to see things before they happen. And it leads to all kinds of things with crime investigations and religious movements and discrimination against them. It's quite a full TV series. But like Scott said, it gets a little quirky at times.
Well, we've been watching Queen of the South. Finally ended it after 3 years of series.
Yeah.
But we're currently watching Narco, which I think is I enjoy the series, but it would be a lot easier if it were in English.
So what are you watching it on, Chester? Narco?
Netflix.
Oh, okay. And you can't change the audio, hey?
No. It's a lot of it is in Spanish, and then some. You'll have the English words put up, but it was designed to be in Spanish, I believe. It's some in English, but primarily Spanish. Now, right. There are a couple of other Narco series. I think one of them is Narco Wars, and the one is Narco Mexico. And I haven't watched those yet.
I really like Queen of the South. It was quite interesting. And I'm trying to think. I watched another one that was along the same lines, but I can't remember what it was called.
Well, Carolyn and I are still watching Rake, the third season.
Well, what is that?
Rake, just R-A-K-E. And it's Australian, and it's a lawyer. He's a qualified lawyer, but he's quite a reprobate, you know, a drug addict and all kinds of, he gets into amazing trouble. But it's a lot of social things that are happening in our society that are worked through. Another one that we really did enjoy just the other night was a movie, and it's called The Debt with Helen Mirren. I don't know if anybody's seen that one. And she was an Israeli Nazi chaser, and it goes through a period of 30 years. So there's actually two people playing the same. Helen Mirren is the older version, and then there's a younger woman. I can't remember her name that plays the younger one. So it was a good movie.
That's called The Debt.
The Debt. It's about the tracking down Nazis in the after the war.
Yeah, that one sounds really interesting. And and you said the Rake. I seem
no,
to
just me, Rake, just Rake. No, the.
No, the. Because it seems to me there's two. One is a British one, and the other one is Australian. And I think it was The Rake was out of England.
Oh.
And Rake is out of
Australia. Yeah.
Australia, because quite a while ago on the computer club, somebody recommended one. I think maybe it was Scott's mom and dad. And I looked it up and I found the Australian one. So,
Cheryl, I think there's definitely two, but I don't think there's an English one. I think there's an American one.
Oh, maybe.
That's the one that's called The Rake?
I don't think it was The. But it is absolutely an American production that has taken the Australian format. They bought the right to it, and they've redone it. And it has an actor in it that we all know, different project, and I just can't remember who it is.
I can't. This is your mom. I can't think of it either, but the one from Australia is by far the better of the two series.
Yeah, we're enjoying it.
Seems like the Australian one had more seats, like the American one had one.
Well, there's something about the Australian accent that works really well with this show as well, I think.
Well,
it is fun because some of the characters go off to the United States or they travel, but they come back with their impressions of North America, which is kind of fun.
Kind of sad.
I have yet to take it. Go ahead and watch the Australian version. We watched the American version for a while, but lost it.
Okay, I sent The Rake, and I found a preview, which I'm putting in the chat room, a YouTube preview, and it says it's made by Sony Pictures, but I'm not sure.
Is that a movie or a series?
It says official trailer. Just a minute.
The Rake by Sony. That sounds like a horror film.
Sony Pictures Entertainment. At a young age, Ashley and Ben witnessed the brutal murder of their parents. Years later, Ashley is still convinced it wasn't someone, but something.
I'm right. It's a horror movie.
It is. Isabella Michael and Shanae Grimes Beach. I don't know these people. On DVD and digital June 5th.
No, that's not it. It just raped.
That's not it.
No. the lead character's name is Cleaver Green. I mean, it's not his not the actor's name. That's the character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cleaver Green is that lawyer. So you could mention that. But I'm pretty sure it's just raped. And we did find it on Netflix. So it's pretty universally available.
And I also looked up Narcos, and it says Netflix Narcos : Mexico renewed for season 3, but it also says that there is a official Netflix site for Narcos with an S.
Hmm.
Not sure which one it is that Chester was watching, that it was in Spanish.
Okay, it is not Narco Mexico. It's the other one.
Okay.
I think Narco Mexico is the most recent iteration.
Okay.
I think it's Narcos, and then later it's Narcos : Mexico, if that makes sense.
The one I'm watching is almost exclusively Colombia.
That's yes. Right. Narcos, it rolls through the years until the business moved Mexico. And it's actually very relevant that the Mexico Narcos actually got in some trouble with the Mexican government as they were making it.
Oh.
I think the government, if I remember right, I think the government gave them money to help finance the show so that they could have some say over what the drama was going to, the plot was going to follow, because they were embarrassed by certain aspects of what they were going to tell.
I'll watch that next.
Yeah, definitely. It's good. It's really good.
It's probably an English.
Well, it's an English.
Okay, Sandy, were you trying to tell us something? Oh, she muted herself.
No, I just forgot to mute.
Oh, that's okay. I thought maybe you had a recommendation for us.
Everything you've talked about so far, we have also been through and agree. We're watching Manifest now. You're right. There are some of the writing is limited. They have to repeat to remind audiences where they left off. And then they, you know, so when you stream, it's broken up by that kind of stuff. Then you get on to the story. That was my complaint. But other than that, I found it quite interesting, almost enlightening in some ways, on how would we handle something like that. Because I suspect in the future there may be those kind of situations. Hard to imagine, but I think maybe so. Anyway, that's all I got.
Well, Sandy, I bet you're looking forward to the family arriving.
Oh, absolutely. Today, I am busy cleaning while I'm talking. That's why there's no video or no sound, but I'm listening. Got to find a place to put those kids.
Sandy, if you're anything like me, when I met our granddaughter in the A&W parking lot in a town halfway between our house and her house, they got out of their truck and they're coming towards us, and we met in the A&W, and I gave her an 11-month hug, and we were still hugging, you know. So you have to get those hugs in with those grandchildren.
We've really been missing those, I'll tell you. We do have grandchildren up here, but one is doing her 18-year-old drive around America, so we don't have her right now. And the other one is 13. That should explain everything.
Yes. This is the youngest at eight. Yeah. But, the boys accepted that grandma still needed hugs, even though they're 14, 15 and 13. They came and knew that grandma and papa were coming in for hugs. So they were good about it.
Hey, are you guys still doing recommendations?
Yep. Yeah.
So last night we watched the Black Widow movie.
That was so good.
It's a continuation of the character from the Avengers movie. And we were just talking. I kept falling asleep because it was late, and Emily watched the whole thing. So what do you have to say about it, Emily?
It was such a good movie. It's great. It's so worth it. So worth the 10 minutes spent looking for a good copy of it, Pirate.
Was that a restricted movie?
No, I think it was the fact that it was not watched in the movie theater is what.
We haven't been to a movie theater in a year.
I'm sure it's also pretty good in a movie theater.
It follows her story as she goes back to Russia for some reason.
It's not Russia.
What is it?
It's her story between Lauren and Betty Moore, and she's going to many places. There's Norway, there's Budapest, and there's a lot of places. It doesn't really matter.
The Marvel movie.
Yeah.
The Marvel movie, so it's got awesome special effect and a good storyline, and it fills in gaps. The other Marvel movie.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the grandkids are going to love it.
Yeah.
Also, Black Widow's so cool.
One of Emily's favorite characters. What do you think, Bebe? We're talking about Black Widow, right? Did you enjoy the movie?
You didn't watch. I was in bed.
Poor Bebe was sick in bed last. Barely holding on right now.
That's not a good condition to be in when she's going to get on an airplane.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you hear her? She's convinced it was food poisoning.
We're all convinced it was
Grandma has a question.
Don't mention it at the airport.
Yeah. Have the kids been vaccinated, or are they going to have to be isolated for a couple weeks here?
You know, it's sad to say, but we're leaving a state that doesn't care. Go to a state that does care.
By the way, and not caring, we just got nominated for the poorest state in the United States to do commerce with. It was on the national news this morning. We're the poorest state of all 50. We're the worst ones they've tried to do any kind of commerce with. And we have a governor that has really helped that along, because he shut things, closed things, slowed down ferry service. I mean, he's done everything he could to keep us from being any competition. So that's what you're coming to.
Mom, was that e-commerce or any kind of commerce?
Well, I think it was anything that had to do with businesses, you know.
Well, Sandy, I feel your pain. Coming from Alberta and all of the fun that we've had with our premier, you know, and as soon as Biden was elected, he basically decided that we should sue the United States for canceling a pipeline. You know, it's a very interesting province to live in, and so I feel your pain when you get those kind of ratings around the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, We make a lot of jokes about the Newfoundland and how it's backward and all sorts of things like that. But I have a friend who's a geologist, and he's done projects all across the country. And he said, if you're dealing with a government, you get answers within 3 or 4 days there that would take 3 or 4 months in other provinces. So it's interesting that even though we joke about them being backward, they're on the cutting edge there.
Yeah, and I was reminded when we were talking about telephones and telephone services and everything between U.S., Canada, and Mexico, our son is in the north end of Baffin Island at the iron ore mine working, and for 1 hour in the morning, it's about 5 a.m. our time, and then again about an hour in the evening, he has access to a telephone on the site. But the rest of like his cell phone, he has no cell data, nothing up there. And he has this limited amount of time that he can use the phone to contact family.
Yeah, that's pretty typical up here for people who work out of the road, off the road system.
I'm very surprised that Alaska beat out California.
I thought there were a couple of states that surely would be lower than us, but apparently not. Oh, they also put down our school district really badly, our school system. One of the worst school systems in the United States. So that kind of hurts in a Republican teacher.
Well, if that's true, that's got to be a recent development, right?
We believe so. We hope it's just who's in charge right now.
Yeah, I hope it's short-lived.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've had kids in the Alaskan school district even up there in the past, and we've always felt like it was a great experience with more resources than we would expect to have, with more attention than we would expect to have anywhere else. It seems odd. I wonder if it's just propaganda.
Yeah, I was wondering the source. But I was really surprised. Yeah, I was reading a book that was in the library down in San Carlos at Tekelai, and it was comparing all the states, and you could say how many miles of road each one had, you know, what the average incomes were in different years and so on. And the one surprise that I found was that elementary education is cost. Three times, or they're spending three times as much per child in some states as others. Three times. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, you could expect to have 20% difference or maybe even 30% difference, but three times. It's some kids are getting quite shortchanged because I don't think they're being extravagant with the ones at the top.
The villages are the ones that are the most expensive because you have the same situation with things having to come through the Wi-Fi and there's no Wi-Fi, just building schools where everything has to be flown in to build it. Nobody produces anything up here except Matsu. They make some farm stuff that foods, vegetables and stuff in the summertime, but everything else has to be pretty much brought in from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that really escalates the prices. And then I think there are opportunists that probably continue that myth and egg it on by charging a little more than they need to. So
Friends of mine who are teachers, they have got contracts up in the north, and the first time they go up there, they're said, well, you know, you're allowed to have this big thing. I think it's like a ton of stuff that you're allowed to send up once a year, and they didn't quite understand about this, what it was, and so they brought some sweaters and what they thought they would need. But when they got up there, the other teachers that have been there, they had filled theirs up with canned goods and all that kind of stuff. And in the middle of the winter, basically all that, those high salaries that they were getting, just gobbled up by the grocery store.
Oh, absolutely. Or just trying to fly out maybe for Christmas will cost you, more than $1,000 just to get to Anchorage. It's really
right. Yeah. So the cheap transport was ice road.
Yes.
They bring it in on roads or something like that. So you had, but once a year, you'd have only this one was your allot. So.
But the ice roads are having problems, of course, because of our climate changes.
Yeah.
It's all related.
Speaking of ice road,
it's going to be bogs.
We watched the movie Ice Road, and I think it's Ice Road is an insult to B movies. It was so bad.
I watched that too, Chester. I agree.
So a non-recommendation coming from Chester. Don't watch Ice Road. Not worth it.
Well, unless you like Ian Neeson, and, you know, I'll watch anything he's in. It could be bad. I don't care.
I'm the same way about Sam Elliott.
Yeah, my husband's that way.
Yeah, pretty cool. So you asked about COVID vaccinations. I heard on the news this morning that Canada now has 50% eligible vaccinated with first dose. So we've got up to that 50% across. And I know that Alberta actually ended up pretty good in the long run. But we're the ones that opened, because we opened for the Calgary Stampede. And we have people attending, but of course we don't have international travel. We have cowboys there competing from all over the United States, but we usually have people from Brazil. We have cowboys from Brazil, from Australia, from all over. So it's much, much more, much reduced. And but locals are doing better at the Stampede. So, you know, there's give and take all over the place.
I consider the Stampede to be one of the greatest shows I've ever been to.
They call it the self-proclaimed greatest show on earth. And at being a Calgarian, yeah, I've had to defend the rodeo and defend the chuck wagon races and the Western way of life when it comes to animals and things. But the rest of it, you know, we have a world-class entertainment show, and we have dancers and bands and musicians, and it's really quite something. And then, like, the agricultural fair at the same time, there's a component that's like the Midway is huge. And yeah, so it's a pretty neat experience. 10 days, and let's see, it started last Friday, and it's the first of the 10 days, so it's going on.
I've never lived closer to Calgary than about 600 miles, and I've still made it three times to the show. Wow. So it's worth any kind of trip.
Yeah. My best memory of your Olympics in Calgary was the, I don't remember if it was the opening or the ending, but at one point the large stadium was filled, absolutely filled, with square dancers.
Yeah.
And beautiful skirts and the movement. I can still see all of that in my mind. I just was so impressed.
Yeah, we had, I think there was whatever Olympic it was, that's how many dancers, you know, and then at the same time, we had the native component and, you know, the Western, but the square dancing, the natives, and Ian Tyson headlined, you know, and so different things. But the opening and closing ceremonies were quite something in Alberta. Yeah, that was 88.
88. Oh, there you go. I still have one of the banners.
Nice.
Banners they put up. I use it as a shade. You know, when I was in my Westphalia, it was part of my kit.
Yeah, the Olympics, 88.
Yeah.
They tried it again. And they had a proposal in to do the Winter Olympics, I don't know, sometime in the last couple of years, whenever it was, the last couple of years, but they failed in there.
Yeah. Alaska's been trying for years. The closest we've come is the Special Olympics, and we have that pretty often up here. I don't know. Well, it's people from around the world that will come, but it's, of course, a very small event, big for us, but small.
They also have the Northern Games. Have they had them in Alaska?
I know we have. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I know there's a huge, the Northern countries compete.
Well, we have as the Eskimo Olympics, we call it up here. We have that.
Yeah. And they're really interesting events. You know, all just amazing, amazing stuff to watch.
Especially, I get a kick out of it because people walk up there and you'd think they're so unassuming, and then they just grab something between their feet and throw it the farthest distance, you know?
or they have something like bones hanging and they have to kick, it's amazing, the physicalness of the Northern Games, we call them. But so July 21st again, it's always seems the 21st they're going to say if the border is open again to travel across, so fingers crossed.
Well, for traveling across the border, the people from the up in Canada all come down to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and repeat the event. Very similar. You know, it's totally different, but really both of them are excellent. But a lot, not just the performers, but the sideshows and the all the little scam stands and all that stuff. Everything kind of moves down to Frontier Days, which is the last full week of July in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, Cheyenne. Yeah.
That's a great event. Similar to the Stampede. Very
good. Do they have the chuck wagons there too?
They have the chuck wagons. They have everything.
I think in Cheyenne, you want to go to the parade.
The Calgary Parade was last Friday, and it's had so many different people. This year, instead of going through Calgary streets, they usually go on along one avenue and around the street and back, and it's a mile or something. They went around the Stampede grounds, so they had the Calgary Stampede band, and they had a couple of chuck wagons, but it was like maybe 15 minutes, and it was all contained inside the grounds. And they've got social distancing and everything on site. But to get into the concert hall, you have to have proof of vaccination, or you have to have the rapid test done on site before you can e-sign up to actually gain access. There's no cost to go into Nashville North, it's called, but you have to pass through the COVID check.
What I was referring to was the Cheyenne Parade.
Yeah. Oh, the Cheyenne Parade too.
One of the funny things with the Cheyenne event was a guy named Joe Snow, who is the director of data processing for the state of Wyoming. Well, he would get so drunk during the week that he would do things like turn his keys into the police department so he couldn't possibly drive. And each year he came up with a different gimmick. Like one year he handed out little compressed sponges that if you turned into the bar could turn into the bank and be honored for a free drink. So he just gave them out the thing. One year he did a rubber stamp, same thing. This gal presented herself at the bank with about 40 stamps on her. And it was hilarious of the different stuff he would do every year.
Well, cowboys like to have fun.
Well, I couldn't call him a cowboy at all, you know, because cowboys are really serious, hardworking people, is what I would say. I've been to a concert, you know, like Michael Martin Murphy. The quietest time in the concert is when they did the Star Spangled Banner. When they left for the day, the cowboy culture came through. There wasn't one piece of trash anywhere amongst 5,000 people who left.
Well, that's respect for the land and...
Oh. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. Well, I have to go. See you next week.
Yeah. You're looking good, Chester.
Well, thank about you. That.
Yeah, it's getting to about that time. Yeah, about 3 minutes left on our hour and a half.
Hey, Scott, don't forget, don't put any rocks on the road.
Again?
Don't put any rocks on the road.
No rocks on the road. Okay.
Where are you?
We are on the Hermosillo Bypass Road. We just paid 120 pesos, so we wouldn't have to drive through Hermosillo.
Well, be safe.
It's a really nice truck. Yeah, it's a really nice truck. It's plenty of time in the field, but I think it's less dangerous driving at the straight highway.
Yeah. We like the bypass too. My cell phone kind of bleeps out in there, so I'm surprised you're still connected. But anyways, that's good.
Well, we've definitely had connection problems. We've got disconnected from the meeting temporarily at times. We had buffering for a while there where your guys' conversation came through like the chipmunk finally.
So have you had any aw snaps? That seems what I always get. Aw snap.
Oh.
Aw snap.
I just got your connection is lost and trying to reconnect. So I've been in and out all over the place. But it seems to be steady now, of course. But here we go. Time to end. Interesting topics again, guys. And Scott, I'm going to transfer it back to you for next week. And you're going to do it from Alaska?
That sounds right. That's the plan.
No,
I would be a little hands if I'm not bringing all my equipment up there with me. I'll be on a laptop. But this works pretty good. I'm just on a phone.
Yeah.
Oh, you can do my computer because it for sure is going to aw snap at least once.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sandy, you'll finally get that technician in the air to look at your computers. It'll be awesome, hey?
I think I have a lineup of people that need Scott's help, so.
Well, I hope you're at the front of the line.
We'll see. You know, it's the cobbler's child what's that saying?
Cobbler's kids go.
It'll be great because we'll do a computer club in the same room. So when her computer dies, I'll be able to reach over and look at it.
There we go.
Just be gentle with him, Sandy.
Gentle with him?
Yeah, that's
right. There's been a few knocks on the head with him. I'm giving them or getting them. I'm not sure which.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And don't be like the manifest plane and disappear into the Netherland on your way up there, okay, Scott?
No.
That's right. I'll see you in 5 years.
All the best. Well, have a good time
up
there.
Have a good week. Thanks for showing up again. We will. We're looking forward to it.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. People are signing off.
Do you have anything you need to say to your mother?
Oh.
Ah, he's gone.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, okay. The other one is still running in Mexico, but it's just us. Okay, take care. We'll talk to you again.
Next week. Bye.
Well, if we can get cars.